I want to take a moment to recognize one of our sponsors, Producers Wealth. If you're interested to set up your infinite banking policy correctly and have access to a coach that will help you use your infinite banking strategy to grow your business and your investment portfolio, and having your capital work in more than one place simultaneously, and protect your capital from market downturns, taxes, predators, and creditors, you can watch a presentation of exactly how you can do this at yourownbankingsystem.com. That's yourownbankingsystem.com. Welcome to the Cashflow Ninja, the podcast sharing how to create and grow income streams and manage, multiply, and protect your wealth in the new economy. Are you tired of trading your time for money? Do you desire freedom today instead of retirement in 10, 20, or 30 years? I'm MC Lobsher, and this is the Cashflow Ninja. This is Cashflow Ninja. I'm MC Lobsher. Thank you so much for joining me in another episode of the Cashflow Ninja and spending your most valuable resource, your time, once again with me. Everything Cashflow Ninja is at CashflowNinja.com. That's CashflowNinja.com. And I've launched my mastermind, Cashflow Nirvana, which is my inner circle. If you're a business owner or investor that's looking to protect and build wealth during turbulent times, Cashflow Nirvana is the place for you. It's an incredible community. I've been so impressed with the caliber of business owners and investors that have signed up and joined Cashflow Nirvana. If you want to join us, go to cashflowninja.com/Nirvana. That's cashflowninja.com/Nirvana. I've got a fantastic guest for you, returning guest today, Francis Hunt. He is the market sniper, the crypto sniper, and the reset sniper. Francis Hunt has been on the Cashflow Ninja before. He shared incredible knowledge. You go, could go to cashflowninja.com and just type in Francis Hunt, and you'll see all of the past episodes that Francis has been featured in. Again, those have been incredible episodes where he just shares so much information and knowledge. He's also got an incredible community, a trading community of like-minded individuals that's looking to build wealth during reset times. I've been a part of that community for 3 years. It's been incredible. I've always been an investor that's very much macro-focused and a macro investor, but I needed to add a different skill set, that of technical analysis, to become a more well-rounded investor. And it's definitely done that for me. Francis, great to see you.
Hey, MC, glad to be back with you. Thanks for having me on.
I just shared in the introduction that, I've been blessed to be a part of your community. I have been a macro investor my entire life, doing a lot of macro analysis and looking at macro trends and try to capitalize on those. But the one blind spot that I had was technical analysis and learning that skill and also a method which you bring to the table, the HVF method, Hunt Volatility funnel method, which people can learn inside of your community. But on a macro level, what are some of the most important things that you're seeing out there from a macro standpoint that people should know about and that you find pretty interesting?
Yes. So back end of last year, it was looking pretty foreboding. And that's not to say it's not now. What's happened is the narrative cycle has been a bit reined back on a number of things. So inflation. So first of all, what were the three big themes macro that we were experiencing last year? Number one, runaway inflation. Let's talk about the US, but it was pretty much a global phenomenon. So US inflation rates, runaway. Let's just say we're at October last year, November, maybe August, September, it doesn't matter. That it was out of control. You've just had four rate hikes, 0.75 back to back in terms of the chase to rein back inflation. Secondly, you had China on a zero COVID policy. So I'm reading a very interesting book. I think it's somewhere there. I'm reading books all over the place I've got lying around. That was Reichardt's sold out book. And, you know, he gives stats on how China is essentially the factory to the world. That doesn't mean they're everything good. They're going to take over. They're going to be the boss. And I'm calling the yuan or the renminbi as the next world currency. Not at all, by any means. But they make a hell of a lot of everything we buy. They went zero COVID. They went full shutdown. And that was pretty devastating in terms of supplying their own personal economies growth, etc. So you had two very negative themes. Then the third one was actually the serious possibility, which I discussed at length because it would be a very bad eventuality, of Germany, Britain, and or France, somebody in the pan-European complex actually having lights out on production due to energy-related issues on this no Russian energy idea that they concocted as a result of this conflict. Let's just leave that one there for now. So you had those three themes. Inside of that time, funny enough, China went back to work entirely. So it went from zero back to 100 kilometers per hour, almost overnight. That was about as big 180 degrees as you can manage. But just to put that into context, Biden has not yet called the emergency. Apparently in May, there will be a decision, and the World Health Organization and all of them, and they all still to come, and no one's declared, okay, you know, the emergency bit is already over, et cetera, et cetera. So China went from 100% lockdown and no work to back to work, 100%. Not much restrictions. So that got them going again, and that got oiled the production line a bit again, which could have been causing shortfalls, could have also been goosing the share price, et cetera, et cetera. And then the third one was, I mean, I've been seeing videos in South Africa, 700% increase in coal exports from South Africa to Europe. So suddenly, whatever they did that saw them not have lights out, A, it wasn't the worst by temperature winter. B, they hooked and crooked and did schemes to get other forms of energy in lieu of replacement in the European complex. So the EU went up, that's eight times, by the way, 700%, eight times the exports. Yeah, you could think it's off a low base, it was a lot. I saw a guy counting, you know, 400 double trailer mega lorries all going to Richards Bay that were gonna go straight up the side of that. So in essence, it looks like on the surface, and I say on the surface for a reason, that three bullets kind of were dodged. The inflation got tamed to some degree. Now, you've got to remember, the dollar during that period absolutely ripped. Not now, we'll get to where we are now, but it was absolutely ripping against the euro. We called a short from 118 on the euro to sub-parity. It happened. The euro-Swiss franc, we called a sub-parity run before the euro-dollar parity run. That happened. We had a major pound collapse against the dollar. That also happened, helped by the bond illiquidity, all now admittedly in strong rally mode. So what you got is the strength of the dollar short term during that period has reined back. And we ran our 111 target, as you remember, on Dixie with a blow-off, has reined back the inflation on the American numbers. And it's one of the most watched numbers, inflation in America, because that dictates the Fed, that dictates what everyone else does, and, of course, globalized currency, the dollar, for now as well. So in terms of all of those things, you had a bit of a counter-trend pushback. Can South Africa long-term continually and consistently, without doing an emergency binge buying, canceling other contracts, sell to Europe, profitably eight times as much coal? I don't know about that level of sustainability. Can you have rows and rows of trucks stopping for a couple of kilometers, just loaded to the hill? This looked very much like all hands to the pump emergency stuff. But once winter's over, the demand will be less. But long run, you haven't solved the problems. What looks like has happened is we band-aided over a number of things. And everyone is awaiting the pivot. And as a result, oh, we've had too much pessimism for a while. You've actually got an uptick on the stock market. And these are what I refer to as probably counter-trend rallies. You've got an uptick also on Bitcoin for the guys on the crypto side. Risk on assets, not of a property nature, mind, but risk on assets on the tradable, investable type have got a bit of a bid during this period. I think it's a bit of fool's gold, and people need to be very, very careful because the risks are as big as they've ever been. The knock-on effects of that 7%, A, it's devastating housing. That hasn't got a rally. People can't sell. They're cutting prices dramatically. Then there's subprime cars. This is talking American right now. It's a $1.6 trillion debtors market. When I was over there in the States, you could do financing over 7 years, and you weren't even buying the whole car, you know, with a balloon payment. I mean, that is my, as I said many times before, my father paid off his house in that time in the old days. So that is on a depreciating asset, let's just also point out, not a non generally holding value over time asset. So We've got a lot that's built up. Of course, the student debt, they've made a little bit of a mixed message. That's all overdue. There's a lot of people that aren't paying there. So America's covered in non-performing debt, and it's growing. And the rates on that is growing. So when you have the rates and the cost of that going up at the same time as the people who can't afford at an existing level's going up, you've got a doubler effect. You've got an increasing amount of people who can't. And that actually sees bank lending stop. So then when you do need refinancing, you have to pay a whole bunch more. And now it's all at significantly higher rates than whatever you've, even if you had a fix for 2 years or 3 years, now you've got to look at the fix today. You've got 70% of American corporations with debt that rolls this year. That's listed companies that need to roll their debt this year on the new interest rate system that have got big, fat, and greedy on the hog and leveraged up their balance sheet, taking loans, buying their own stock up. Guess what? The CEOs, and this is why I talk of a control fraud. The control fraud definition is when you get agents of management, which were not owners or not founders. They're just professional management salary that goes up to a board level, and they load a company up on debt. They stuff the pipeline. Let's say you're a manufacturer of cars like Ford, for example. You stuff cars into the merchant claiming the sales, and you make it your dealer's problems. You load it with debt. You buy your own stock back. You hit your highly stretched option targets that you negotiate with the remuneration board as CEO and as financial director. You say, we'll do a real stretch number, but then I really want to be paid. Make me a billionaire, you know, in equities. And they go, yeah, no problem, do it. And then you do all these tricks. You basically hollow out all the fat on the body of the business, load it with debt, buy the stock up, stuff as much as you can into the pipeline, make it other people's problems, destroy the long-term brand, get a short-termism effect, and you retire out in those billionaire. Literally, Goizueta of Coke was a billionaire professional management guy on a brand that was doing all the work itself during a globalization period. How brilliant did you need to be to make money during those periods, that whole internationalization? So you've got control frauds everywhere. You've got financing that's coming up on a hyper-leveraged environment. You have, I think our last stat I heard, and it's a bit old now because I've been repeating it for a while, was about 15% of the Fortune 500, or it might have been the S&P 500, a bit sketchy on the facts, don't quote me, actually borrow to pay dividends. So they're paying dividends and they don't have sufficient cash flow in earnings to fund the dividends, and they are borrowing. This is controlled demolition. This is the explosives. I've said interest rate policy and debt is the controlled demolition of your personal finances and your corporate finances and a nation state's finances. And in every one of those levels, starting from you to the corporate level, to the national level, they have instituted those explosives. You are looking at the takedown, the controlled demolition of an economy in much the same way as you might have looked at other forms of controlled demolition that may or may not have occurred during our history. And that's the macro state. So all the risks are to the downside. Now, some people will say, well, it's inflationary, you should buy stocks. Well, America is one of the highest by PE. You'll know when you listen to me, we did the PE market cap, a very rough multiple. I'm thinking of adding a couple of other things to it, but we just said total population and the total market cap that they sustain. And when you looked at that Excel spreadsheet, you had India, for example, admittedly a very populous nation, at about $1,900 for sustaining their 2.9 trillion stock markets. You had Brazil at about three, you had Russia around three. Then I put in one developed market like the Japanese, which went financialization, everything. They're very much considered America 11 years in advance. And they have $39,000 for their $5 trillion of market cap. Now, I want to add an IQ and a tendency to violence feature to that and multiply it out as to what's the most attractive areas relative for value, because it's a very blunt instrument that I'm discussing. But do you remember, or can you guess what the average individual American must sustain to hold up the market cap by population in America? 120,000 per citizen of market cap.
I was going to guess 60 to 80 was going to be my range, and it's not even close. It's off.
So it's an expensive goddamn market. Yes, you can say, well, the average IQ of people maybe in America is somewhat higher than other places in the planet. I don't want to get into trouble by taking you anywhere in particular. But you know, you can argue that that's aspect, but there's a lot of smart people in South Korea. There's a lot of smart people in Japan, a lot of smart people in Europe. And tech can move. Tech can move everywhere. A lot of it has been driven by the tech boom. And when they have decided to move the money east, they will move the money-making industries with it. And these are tech is essentially dark. A lot of it, the big majors are dark state-ish. You have to look at Google as CIA's tech division. You have to look at you know, Amazon as the bottomless overdraft that could run without ever making a profit for decades before it owned everything. And it could just reinvest and nobody ever asked. Yes, it got dipped from 107 to 7, but you don't get that kind of bottomless overdraft. Let's me and you start a business and see if we can just keep running a business with losses like our friend Bezos. That's your one world order and online retailer. Rockefeller was known for making all the wages that he paid his oil workers and everything. They had to shop, live in his compound, and he got all the wages given back to him through his retail. So he didn't even like parting with the retail. He considered it renting your salary back out to you to get it back later. So that's how these guys are. You know, they are absolutely to the nth degree. He invented PR, by the way, David Rockefeller. In fact, it became a massive industry under him on making movies with him petting babies because he actually looked quite satanic, quite gaunt and rather ugly. And he became a deeply well-known figure for all his dastardly deeds, which included mafia squeezing people out of small oil claims, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So he actually started, how do I deal with his lack of unpopularity? So unpopular was he, and so powerful and unpopular, with so many narratives of brutality, blackmail, etc., that he started PR. The PR really kicked off under him.
I want to take a moment to recognize one of our sponsors. One of the wealth strategy secrets of the ultra wealthy is that they make more income and grow their net worth every year and legally pay less in taxes. They also grow their capital when markets go up, down, and sideways. They grow their capital in economies that grow and boom, and in economies that are in recessions and even depressions. If you are a high income earner and trying to figure out how to legally reduce your taxes while receiving cash flow and growing your capital, Pantheon Investments have a great opportunity right now. By leveraging Pantheon Investments' holistic wealth strategy and its exclusive relationships, you can access an opportunity right now in oil and gas. This opportunity will help W-2 earners to legally reduce taxes, generate cash flow, and grow their capital. This exclusive opportunity will also position you to be on the right side of rising oil and gas prices. This is a limited offering available to accredited investors only. To learn more, go to cashflowninja.com/Pantheon. That's cashflowninja.com/Pantheon.
So while we're covering these topics, you've got big tech that will be reporting this week. The truth of the matter in the community, I'm not trying to push anyone too much in any direction until we get the Fed out of the way this week, which I'm expecting will probably do the 0.25, but there is a bigger risk than some might gander that there's an outside chance they try to prove their inflation fighting machismo at 0.5, but there's been a lot of data showing. In fact, long ago we were in a recession when the original, largely always been accepted definition with all our charts and shaded areas for a recession was passed. That happened some time ago, but they don't want to talk like that. So they just change the rules. It's just like I'll write a new law. I'll change the law. It's benefiting you too well. It's time I flex it back in my direction again. So they change the rules. So now there's an employment feature in it. But now big tech has laid off 10% of people because they don't want their earnings to be garbage and look like they've done nothing about it. So 10% here, 10% there. Those are all 10% that's the going home, for going from double earning families to single earning families. And in some instances, single earning families to no earning families and living off savings in a highly inflationary environment. Then there's this inflationary number. We're winning the war in inflation. You never win the war in inflation in the first bite. It's a monster you've got to kill small, otherwise it comes and gets you later, and it's going to rebound. So you have what's called base level effects. Before the inflation, you had a very low relative measure of inflation, and then later it got higher. So you're measuring it, the percentage is higher. As you go year on year, you start climbing, your base level effects start reaching once you already were in quite an inflationary state. So now you're comparing a new period and it's not as high. So you say, well, the percentage on the year-on-year inflation is actually less extreme than it was when there was no inflation, and then a year later you were in big inflation. So that's called baseline effects. So the baseline effects are showing that you're still getting more higher costs. The rate at which they're coming in comparison to 1 year previously is slightly slower. But that's still like saying, as I always like to say, the Porsche Turbo that's getting up to 300 kilometers an hour is going slower between in acceleration terms between fourth and fifth gear than it did between first and second. But it's still speeding through the naught, the 100 and the 200 marks to hit 300 kilometers an hour. And that's the inflation that everyone's feeling. So what happens is they will claim some degree of victory, usually politicians for electoral benefits, et cetera, only to find it keeps coming back, because once you start coming a little bit down or it stops affecting in terms of the rate of change, you'll have a surge in oil and you'll get another leg up. So that's why if you look at charts regarding the Volcker period, you are in and out of recession repeatedly. And don't forget, they'll say it's not a recession anymore. You can go recession, two quarters of negative GDP growth. You can have a 0.0 in the third quarter and you can say, that's it. It's not negative. We're out of recession. Well, that ain't good. That means you've not gotten down any further than the god-awful previous quarter, which was negative, and you've recorded a naught. So that means in the falling down the cliff, you've bounced on a ledge somewhere there on the way down, but you're still falling down the cliff. And January, you'll know technically continuation is our game. You keep falling until you start having real growth. Real growth isn't coming with layoffs. Real growth isn't coming with people having more and more of their disposable income compressed by inflation. Real growth isn't coming in an environment that you have one of the most expensive stock markets that deeply needs to re-rate. You're on a demographic baby boomer, the maximum, the peak, the pig in the python boomer generation. Quarter four 2022 was retirement for the fattest part of that normal bell curve. So you've got more people stopping earning, copping out and sitting down and saying, pay me now. I've worked 50 years. Now I want out of you. And I want, you've got to maintain me. And that's, of course, a demographic pig in the python. So there's much less people that have to support a much bigger bulge that were made promises that never could be afforded by people who knew they wouldn't be there when those promises came due. And as a result, you've got a tapering, you can't taper this Ponzi, you know, you just can't. So it's a very downdrafty vibe, and it's not being a bear, and it's not being, and I know, and I love American culture and people immensely, but positivism is a disease too, where you go, everything's okay. No, it's all fine. No, it's a little bit of a down day. Always like cheer this. It's a little bit Tony Robbins. You just have to sing it and think it. No, when a situation is dire, I'm here to tell you the fullness of the situation of the dire. You gave a great analogy. You'd rather be told as a hunter there's potentially one lion sighting out there than be told the soft lion when there's 100 lions out there. No, there's only one lion out there. So if there's 100 lions out there, I ain't going out there, or I'm climbing a tree right now. If I've got a rifle and 9mm and I'm in open ground, I might fancy a chance to cope with a single rogue lion element. So it's much better to get the fullness of the truth, because the plans and the degree that you prepare and the action you take is there. So truth is king, and it is a terrible situation macroeconomically. And the stock market can be in disbelief. You've got the VIX relaxing back down all of the way, but the debt markets are in absolute trouble. And yes, there's a bit more of a bid now that they're paying a bit more of a yield. You've not got, it's a couple of months since the Bank of England went, no one wants to buy. And everyone talks about how huge the debt markets are. And believe you, by market cap, they are a lot huger. But remember, market cap is a very vain and vainglorious and also stupid measure in some ways. It's just the total valuation today times the amount that is proliferated. Try sell all of that on one day. You ain't doing it. You ain't doing it for love nor money. The point of the matter is there's no liquidity and there's no will for new people to want to take your place in that shit train, if you can forgive the phrase, because it's a pretty dark environment. We're going higher on rates. We've turned, in my opinion, long time ago. We called this 2 years and we stand on it. This is an end of a debt cycle. The biggest call is to call the end of it. What is a debt cycle? The value of it is just not going to happen. And that's why you have the inflation, because it's a yep. mechanism and a tool for devaluing debt. And it's a billionaire enrichment scheme, because they borrow at different rates to you and I, and they get their debt devalued and they buy up hard assets. This is the season for de-digitization, certainly de-debtifying, because it's going, they'll use the interest rate on you. And many people going, but what if debt jubilees? I'll get forgiven my mortgage. Not to hell are you getting forgiven your mortgage. You have to realize there's different classes of debt, and there's people that are designed to be helped, and there's people that are the marks. And the bad news is you, as Citizen Joe, are the marks always. So in terms of reset, when they bring in a CBDC, you will battle. There will be jubilees. No, you're not getting forgiven debt, not at all. You'll go into a new central bank digital currency system where you'll be forced to comply, forced to do many things. I think you should reject this as much as is humanly possible, continue to trade cash, but they will taper the validity of cash by law and decree in the end, because they have the power to do so. And that's where you need to be in a community where you're spending between yourselves in a means, both barter and other means such as gold, silver, and anything else that is not controlled by state. And unfortunately, they won't look fondly on that. So they'll come and crush you anyway. But many, many ways that this is a dire situation. I've probably given you quite a bit to unpack there in terms of that opening salvo.
No, there's a lot there. So no, appreciate that. So one of the things that you did share was, Amazon being the shop of the world, it's sort of like the company store, but that the Rockefellers modeled, right? That was their model, just as you shared. And with public relations, the theme is, and it's kind of eerie to see it. So Klaus Schwab brought out a book from the World Economic Forum, COVID-19 and the Great Reset. But he also published another book called The Great Narrative, something to do with the narrative. And it's just interesting because you mentioned PR, and narratives are a PR spin. Narratives that are being shared, that are being hammered over and over and over is a PR spin. You're trying to frame the thinking, because what the information that people process will impact obviously their thinking and how they react and how they behave. So narratives are very, very important. Humans think in narratives, right? Try to shower someone with data and analysis and facts that's thinking in a narrative. Very hard to break it. It's almost like a spell, right? So narratives are very important. And there's a couple of narratives that you just shared. So one of the things is someone asked me the other day, when are the people going to realize that, things are not as they are projected through mainstream media? I said, well, they're already, most people that are awake can already feel it. They're already dealing with this. And anybody that can at this stage see it for what it is, sees that nothing is as presented or that they want you to be perceived. So, one of the things is back to the stock market when they pumped all of these stocks and just ballooned all of these debt. And now all of a sudden, Francis, this is eerie. I'm sure you've seen this now too. All of these CEOs are starting to resign at a record pace. At the end of 2022, going into 2023, the same headlines are popping up how there's a record amount of CEOs that are saying, that's it, I'm out. and or they're being replaced, right? And this is where things are still perceived to be okay. Like you said, we're going to combat inflation, we're going to take inflation down, and so forth, where most people that and the GDP number, get back to that narrative. We grew 0.2% or something like that. Meanwhile, they're telling you the inflation is 7 or 8%, whatever they're spinning now. So you're still negative on GDP growth just based on inflation. And then the actual inflation number is much worse than that if you look at John Williams at Shadow Stats. And it's the same thing with the narrative of supply chains. Everything is hunky-dory. Everything is good. Don't be alarmed that you're running out of eggs or you're paying an exorbitant amount for eggs in the United States or chickens or, you know, what is it? 50 million chickens have been slaughtered basically in the United States already just over the past like 12 months. So anyway, these are all narratives that are just being put out there, and they're just going to continue to put them out there and out there and out there and out there. But then in reality, you're starting to see stuff. Oh, all the CEOs are resigning. Oh, and by the way,
can I comment on that? The CEOs.
Yeah, and the political leaders.
And then I'll hand it back to you. The last time there was a spate of CEOs resignations was the back end of 2019. One of my most popular YouTubes that I did is record CEO resignation and FDs. So that's the CFOs resignations and that something was coming with that. And I'd love to see the source actually, because you've told me something. Now I hadn't seen that article that there's new records, and it's again foreboding. It's a foreboding piece of news. People get out when there's, you know, you choose your timing for when you buy out. You don't feel like you want to fight another major war. You know, you resign just before the army goes for the next major war, you know, in peace times. And you think, never mind, I'll pass on this one. You know, and that's absolutely it's, anyway, sorry, carry on with your.
Yeah, no, and I was going to say, in tying into the leadership kind of thing, too, of the control structure, as I like to call it, you now see political leaders, too, resigning. Like, look, in the UK, they've had three prime ministers in the space of, I don't know, you know, just
one
over a year.
And picked up her lifetime pension for that as well, a six-digit sum, yeah.
Yeah, from Boris Johnson to Liz Truss to Richie Sunak now. Jacinda Ardern resigned as prime minister in New Zealand. It looks like the new chap is just as friendly and upbeat as she was about everything, but he was running the entire COVID operation basically in New Zealand, and then in the United States, this is very interesting too, which is not getting a lot of attention too. But Ron Klain, which is the chief of staff of the White House, basically running the country, he is rumored to leave after the next State of the Union, and the person that is being propped up and, you know, are getting all these compliments, and he's the greatest guy, Jeff Sessions. He was the guy in the United States running also a lot of the COVID operation over here. So it's interesting to see this.
There were
other leaders in Sri Lanka and so forth. So there's a ton of other leaders that have already changed. So it's just interesting for me that, again, from a leadership standpoint, you're seeing all these things happening. But, you know, Francis, of course, don't believe your lying eyes, right?
I want to take a moment to recognize one of our sponsors. My friend Dave Zook says, you can be conventional or you can be wealthy. Pick one. At The Real Asset Investor, Dave and his team bring their investors high-yield investment opportunities across several asset classes for cash flow, tax impact, and equity growth. He and his team are one of the top five ATM operators in the country, and they have an investment opportunity available to accredited investors right now in the ATM space. To learn more about their ATM funds that produce tax-free cash flow, visit therealassetinvestor.com.
It's a dangerous time when all the heads of the Gestapos and the SSs are all getting promoted to prime minister. And that was the COVID experiment. You know, go cut your teeth being a hard man inflicting hardship on an innocent, freedom-seeking populace, whipping grannies sitting on park benches, sending riot cops after them, and overkilling on that while letting normal, asylum-seeker crime go unresponded to. It's very foreboding for freedom seekers. It's very foreboding. But what do you do? Let's talk solutions, because as I say, I'm anti-positivism, but I'm not for helplessness. And the game is gold, silver, in terms of money, rack up. Can they try to steal it from you? Can they try to take it? Well, yeah, spread it around. be in different jurisdictions. Don't hold it or don't use bank vaults. Use maybe one or two private, have some at home, midnight gardening, have some at other homes that are family and related. Have discussions about things you wouldn't normally have discussions about with core family and people of long-standing trust. Get community-based neighbors. We discussed a very interesting project, with multiple homes, beautiful setting with you just before this, where everyone is a community member and bona fide skeptic of government and sees dark and dirty business coming our way. We've spoken about, legal numbers, lots of pretty dark topics, but it's much better to speak about them, say, look, nothing is a fact, but it's a possibility. Let's preempt and preact. All of this is accept the scale of the problem early and even be over bearish on that. At least then you can set expectations and start planning. Euphemize and try positivize a dire situation is saying there might be one small rogue female lion out in the jungle when there's an entire pride that are hungry and in the jungle. And that's just bad information. You're killing the guy who thinks he can handle it and is out there with bad information and he's set up to fail. So, understand that this is bigger than you realize. It's been coming for longer than you realize. It's more organized than you realize. And just surviving it is good. And we spoke about places where surviving it is better. And again, I don't want to overcred those Deagle stats. It's just an opinion. It's just an Excel sheet. It's a forecast. But I don't get where some contractor consultancy is consulting to the military industrial complex and of a whim, instead of projecting plus 5% for 5 years, comes up with a near 80%, 78% decimation of UK population, a 70% plus decimation of US population. And these all tend to be around the Commonwealth Anglo-Saxon nations from Australia, Canada, United Kingdom, Europe, Northern Europe particularly, but pretty devastating on states like Portugal. And I'm going, hold on, what's happening? It's either a war, or there were different kinds of vaccines that were proliferated in the name of saving you from a flu that had different stock or numbers or different batches. I don't know. So you can speculate. The truth is, I don't know. We'll find out later. Many things I don't know. I didn't know what was coming in 2019, but I went short oil and long gold, and it worked very, very well for me, especially because I saw it in the charts and I had the fundamental news. So I saw everyone, the rats jumping ship. I saw, guess what? Aramco, the Saudi benevolent trillion market cap potential company, is actually going to go list instead of being held by the Saudis. Oh, they're modernizing now. And they're going to give options for their citizens to buy and share in the wealth. Oh, how kind of them. Oh, I guess that's a patsy stuffing. So that definitely means oil's going down. And we saw downward structures on Carnival, with downward structures on Tullo, downward structures on Plains, all American pipelines that runs the veins, that pumps the juice of energy all around America. Guess what? I'm shorting oil. And it worked very, very well, single digit numbers. And we aim to do this as a macro, a focused on macro. What is the fundamental news flow like? What is this? What are they looking at and guessing? Couple of good guesses with probability and real money management. Make sure you don't get wiped out if you're wrong, and make sure you get disproportionate downside benefits in a short or upside runs in a long doing this. And let me tell you, I've been talking about gold and silver since I started this community. Since 2009 on this channel, I've got gold bull, a long-term investment only. I've traded it short, I've traded it long, and I've invested only long. And I've not sold an ounce and continue to say it. And I said more and more that's becoming the game. But don't forget, if they zero everyone's bank accounts, you have a massive loss of money, a major crisis, a major contraction, people having problems with accessing food, potentially breaking into stores, looting, violence, BLM times 10. And you're going to have problems. So be situated where you have access to sustenance to eat. And your energies are looked after, and you're independent of government state, almost certainly, because I think the next event has to surpass subprime crisis and the Needlecraft of March 2020. So for me, that's going to be big. That's yep. huge to the downside. So the mugs rally on stocks right now, you've got to be real cautious. You've got to be real cautious. Could there be another wash of damage on cryptos? It could be. I'm not saying there has to be. I'm open to either. But, you know, if all those downsides materialize brutally in 2023, there will be disinflation on a huge level. And they need literally to contain inflation. They need that. They need all yep. forms of demand to be curtailed and supply. Literally, the only way you kill inflation is you just reduce the size of the global economy entirely. And that's what they did. They've already done it once, by the way. So they can do it again in short succession. In fact, a couple of key unheralded, unread history books that are all of the unofficial variety that have credible people, they talk of the jackpot event. In fact, this jackpot event is in a series now called The Periphery. Hmm. And the jackpot, the nickname it was given, and this is the first time I'm actually telling about this, so this phrase will be when, is a rolling contagion of mega macro events from pandemics, wars, etc., that leads to major. The jackpot is the pot and the accumulated effect of every single one of wars, famine, drought, pandemic, you name it. These people are going to try to orchestrate the 12 plagues of biblical time in various forms and formats. And that will kill all forms of inflation because people won't be buying anything, especially if they kill the money that they do it in. But anything short of really big scale things, like you experienced with CV19, like you experienced with subprime, anything else, you know, we won't be killing the inflation.
This is where, so from a macro point of view, you need to have a macro view and understand the attack vectors, right? Because, you know, I've shared on this show before and inside of Cashflow Nirvana, we're at war. It started in 2020. It's a different war. People think of war as, you know, an aircraft carrier, just positioned off the coast of a country where F-16s are leaving from, that's going to bomb that country back to the Stone Age. That's one type of warfare. That's kinetic, but you have a psychological warfare method, and then you have economic and financial warfare. And kinetic is, I mean, Sun Tzu talks about this. If you are a practitioner and a master practitioner in the art and the craft of warfare, you will never get to kinetic. You will completely destroy your enemy without even fighting, just in the first two, whether it's psychological, which is
fear is a big part of that.
Yeah, information and psychological, fear. And then the economic, economic and financial. So one of the things
you win that war in their minds. If you can make them afraid and get them cowering, then it is simple to cut heads off because they're all kneeling before you and quivering, even though they could have scrapped, and many of them are bigger and stronger than you. You can walk up to them and sever their heads with a pocket knife. You've won it in the mind. And that's where many people talk about that in sports. And why do they think it doesn't happen on bigger stages? And yeah. The game is not to be in fear. I'm living good life. I'm having good times. I'm eating good meals. I'm doing healthy things.
Yep.
I'm riding. I'm loving. I'm building skills. I'm enjoying every day like a gift. And as I said, in a community that we're both part of, but not the sniper community, you know, treat it like you've got a lease in life. You've been given a year lease on life, and you do it and you live it to the fullest, and you take action and you prepare. You're not going to be getting depressed. Cold water submersion in the morning, proper meal, intermittent fastings, working out, training, riding mountain bikes outdoors, swimming in the sea in winter. Good stuff. All yep. good stuff. Be a man. Train, work out, be strong, prepare, build things. There's no depression in that. And in fact, you can actually become psychologically a lot happier. So despite being utterly anti-positivism, I'm actually personally having a good time, enjoying my life. And there's many more days that I expect to have enjoyable times. You know, I'm not young anymore. I'm okay. I feel young inside. But I encourage everyone to feel the same. And that's entirely yep. different to calming the waters and expounding platitudes about everything being fine or okay. The scale of the situation must be acknowledged and observed in fullness. That means you don't yep. fix a boil and not flush all the pus out. You know, You've got to go get that pip right out. You've got to dig in deep and get it all out. You don't stitch up after just a wound, after just a little bit of dabbing around the edges here. If there's something that needs getting out, you get every goddamn piece out, as ugly and as messy and as bloody as it is. But then when you stitch it up, you know, it's all done. The job is done. If you do a half job, you'll do the half job. There's always time to only do a half job, and there's never time to do it properly, but there's always time that has to be found to do it a second and a third time and a fourth time, because you never did it properly the first time. So my approach is don't window dress. Don't window dress the severity of the situation. You have got an elite, largely psycho class. In fact, there were banking tests on this. I don't just use it like as a horror movie word. It's a psycho. It means a deficiency of empathy. Class that have actually get, I would say, that it's not only a deficiency of empathy, they get high and it elevates them to godliness to have this power of removal of life of other citizens. In other words, you are the cocaine that other people like to snort in ending your life. That's who they are. That's psychopathic. So lack of empathy and actual glee in terminating you and pulling off a plan. They want to see it through. So you've got to decide, I'm going to be passive in this and die a coward, or I'm going to be actively resisting. And it is big, broad scale. They own the media. Anybody who's been stigmatized as a racist, transphobe, white nationalist, right wing, fascist, you name all the isms. Anti-science, whatever the case may be, embrace those as your badges of honor for resisting captured science, captured race wars.
One thing I was going to add to Francis is from your macro, right? Identify the attack vectors, you know, the monetary system, the banking and financial system, pandemics, climate change, World War III and the threat of nuclear war, population control. Look at it from a technical standpoint to identify, because you don't know when what's going to happen at what time. You know, the example that you shared was through your method, the HVF method, you were able to identify that an event was coming. You didn't have the information. You didn't know.
That's great.
But the chart showed you, you know, and prior to our call, it's funny, we were talking about a company in South Africa, you know, and we were just talking back and forth, and you pulled up the chart, which was Steinhoff was the company in South Africa, which a lot of people lost a lot of money on because it, you know, it was very, very fraudulent and the stock plunged. The HVF method, actually, when you threw it on the chart, would have identified. Again, nobody knew what was going to happen. We didn't have the information. We didn't have the insight, but it was going to show you. And then the other thing that I would also share, then when you have the macro, you have the technical stuff to try and figure out you know, approximate timing of things, the things that are under attack, which you just said, you know, double down on them. So for example, you know, one of the stuff that I've been talking about is here's some of the things that are under attack: your health, your family, the community that you live in, your freedom and your sovereignty. And if you wanted to live or leave a legacy, so double down on all of those. Become as healthy as you possibly can, physically, spiritually, mentally. You know, double down on your family, strengthen bonds. You know, create memorable and incredible experiences. Communities, join community of like-minded people that are on the same track, that want to achieve freedom and sovereignty. And that's the other thing, you know, if they're clearly coming after your freedom, so put yourself in a financial position to become as financially free as possible, and then add the sovereignty element to it, where you're not dependent on other things. So if the power grid goes out, you've got your solar, you know, your solar power panels and batteries in your residence. You've got access to water. You've got access to food. You have methods and strategies and tactics to protect you and your family. You know, and there's so many other things that you can add to the sovereignty piece. Just think, anything that you rely on critical infrastructure and systems, don't be reliant on them. So those are just things that I'll add to that. You know that. I mean, this is I've seen the life of community members and which of the communities is we're part of, and there's some incredible, you know, lives right now, and people are living to the fullest because they recognize what's going on. They understand how many lions are out there in the jungle. They know it's not just one. They know it's 100. So they're just going to have to play the game a little bit different. But then they double down on the things that they feel that are under attack. And because of that doubling down, it becomes an adventure. You know, you have been a very, very good example of this. I mean, whether it's, you know, on a motorcycle, you know, driving in Africa, whether it's in Panama and so forth. So, I think that's the part of the solution because, yeah, it's obviously these are the times I think if we think back and if we ever wanted to live, that there's going to be like incredible things that we're going to see. Like I just thought of it the other day. When other time would you want to be alive right now? All the stuff that you're going to see, all the stuff that you've already seen and the stuff that you're going to see.
History's been made.
Yeah.
History's been made economically, socially, and on a multiple of levels.
I want to recognize one of our sponsors, Penumbra Solutions. Life Settlement Investments have allowed financial and banking institutions to not only buy their equity contractually, but also diversify their capital from any economic, market, and geopolitical risk. It's been part of the billion-dollar blueprint followed by institutional investors. And if you're an accredited investor, you can also now participate in this vehicle with enormous growth potential. You can watch an informational webinar presented by one of the premier organizations providing life settlement investments, Penumbra Solutions, at cashflowninja.com/life settlements. That's cashflowninja.com/life settlements.
Just on some of those points you raised, I'll do a quick share. So, for example, the evidence that the European natural gas, I spoke of the three trends that we went into the end of the year of fearing. You actually already had your high in and around August on natural gas. We had this head and shoulders drawn some time ago. And we called and we pointed out, I did it on Twitter. We said natural gas is going to be going from 5.5, 6, you were breaking down here. You're going to run 2.5, 3s. You're going to go sub 3s. We're at a target of 2.9. It's at 2.5 today. That's huge. That's a huge, huge percentage-based move. The initial, these red lines are a smaller head and shoulder just in here. So I'm just highlighting that. That was a beginning sign that you were getting reversals here from the high point. You could have been short and out, and that was 7.875, trading 2.5 now. That is one-third, less than one-third, one-third of where it was over there when it, and that was September, mid-September, round about there. And now here we are in January talking, well, we're February now today, aren't we? And that's reverse. And literally, you know, you've just gone into Christmas and first month of the new year, bang, one third, less than a third. You've lost 68% in the gas market. So that was highlighting that that's going to be cycled back. And that will obviously reduce some of the inflation in the Eurozone, because they're heavily reliant on it. So you can see these trends changing as and when they're changing in the charts. You actually asked me about Steinhoff, because you were talking about a lot of people that became a speculators, punters trade. And I mentioned to you, yes, let's get it up. I haven't looked at that chart in ages. And what did we see? I go to the weekly chart. There it is, the inverted HVF itself before a major loss in value. You're talking about $75 to $17. There it is. We drew it just before. You asked me, you mentioned it. I had no idea what I was going to see. I just said, there you go. Can you see it? there's your biggest spiller. It's an absolute thriller. You're going from 75 down to 15. You know, what's 15 of 75? Well, I don't know. That's about one, it's less than a quarter. You know, four times 40 and 20 at 60. It's about a fifth. About 20%. It's just poor. It's just, and you can see it. It's I call this the insider foreign, the forensic detective on insider trading. It absolutely it is. Because the one thing the control structure has to do is they still use the markets. They still use the markets to profit. I mean, we told you that we're going to go long the euro against the Norwegian kroner. Now, the Norway has much better deficit position than Europe. Is pumping oil that is clearly in need, and it is absolutely counterintuitive. But many people don't realize that the euro had collapsed immensely and in its parity run, and was pricing in some of this drama. So just on a shorter time frame trade, and there you go. These are the upside HVFs. There it's ripping. And you know from being in the community that you could have been in long over here. You could have taken your target. That's a risk reward. That one was a 7.85. We've got another 3.26. We're calling for an 11 run now. It's at 10.929. It's not far off. And you could have got in here. And if you'd got in from the very beginning and were trading it, you were getting sub 10.5, 10.4. It's making money for me now. And this is using technical trading. This was hourlies. I don't spend a lot of time on the hourlies. I love the big macros. The big macros, the monthlies, the weeklies. You put a trade on and you forget about it. And you put your target and your stop loss in. And you go play golf. You go do whatever blows your game. I'm not a golfer per se. I do other things. But there you go. We had the dollar index that we said would run 111. And that was last year. It was a big macro trade, as you know it. This was it.
Yep.
We sit down here. It needs to turn soon. If it turns, it's going to run. This whole setup here is going to break up through to 111. This is the magic of HVF method. It's not an individual. It's a method that anyone can use. We said there's an inverted head and shoulders within that. That will be your breakout point. You could have been long dollar over here during this period. That blue line was at 94.5, and it ran right the way through past 114. We were happy to take targets at the 110, 111 market. So that's huge. That was huge. So, you know, at that point, you're making sure you're holding no euros, you're holding dollars. Even as an investor, let's say you don't want to be a trader. You just want to know when you want to buy property or when you're going to do anything. Knowing how, who and where the money is flowing to and away from is understanding the flows of the global system, which asset classes, which geographies, which everything. Right now, it's a commodity bull. It's precious metals bull. Yes, you're getting a bit under the stock market, but it's a very racy one. You should stay out of debt long term for me on all levels. And you should be very cautious unless you're buying miners. Now, if you go and do miners, and I'll show you something else that would be interesting for your community in terms of what they could learn from us together that you're enjoying and they're not, is let's have a look at the miners against this, the SPY. Look at that. That's tech stocks. That's miners valued in tech stocks. It's been absolutely crushed.
And yeah, if you're listening to this, it's, you know, as Francis liked to say, it was a little boy peeing off the rooftop, completely crushed.
Yeah, and it was absolutely brutal. It's been brutal for an extended period. You're talking right back to 2007. I keep talking about 2007 and 8 subprime like it wasn't that long ago, but actually it's 2023. That stuff started to break in 07, 08. And then you got this nothing but this falling wedge, and you're dribbling out here. Now, if I put that on a log scale, you'll see this is more significant. But this is classic of bottoming, battling to make new low. So that was a huge low, miles away from that low, which was somewhere down from that low. But now you've had a long, long time, and you've got a marginally lower low. What you're actually getting in another color is you're getting reducing lows, and you're going to start making higher highs and higher lows, in my opinion. On balance of probabilities, can I guarantee you that? No, but that is a bottom. That is a bottom that's being made. So miners are going to start rocking and rolling potentially, but slowly first and then disorderly to the upside.
Yep.
And you need to be in before disorderly. Otherwise, you're just one of those guys who chase Bitcoin at $60,000 and were flushed out at $30,000 on the way back down, because you bought too much and you over-leveraged and you made all the mistakes in the books and you chased the momentum. You have to be in things where no one's talking about them. And that's turning. Go look at the uranium and similar things, commodities and energies. But this is huge. And it's the same chart whether you look at it against the S&P, even if you look at it against gold itself, it's underperforming. So the miners will be a stock category that I would say will serve you better than any of the other equities for a while. So that's a small bit on a couple of charts that we were mentioning. The dollar, I think it can still go lower, and that could support the stock market a little longer, and that's going to get the bull saying, "Ah, you're wrong." No, it's about timing. I'm on the macro time frame. I'm far more afraid of the potential downside. I don't want to risk to get a little bit more here and then have risk down all the way here, down to here. That amount of reward with that amount of risk, on the basis that I'm driving in my car at some moment and some event happens, and the next thing you know, the market, I saw 1987, I was around, you know, market fell the record percentage in a single day. It's too late, and you won't even get fills on your stop losses if you're playing in that traffic. You've got to be on the right side of the market. And yes, people say there's lots of fear and there's inflation, you should be in stocks. Okay, buy miners. They'll still go down on a demand reducing event, but in the longer run, if you're patient and you're not using leverage. So volatility is going to be key. Volatility is going to be big. If people are using leverage, they're going to get wrecked. It's going to be something. You have to build your way to wealth, starting with investment first. Leverage is a judicious tool used very selectively. We spoke of the first cup gold nugget on Bitcoin. We said this is one of those rare moments where we will use leverage going long and hold leverage overnight, you know, during that setup from 7,000-8,000 through to 64. Then you're done. You've got to be done. That target, by the way, again, just to remind some of the people, I'm not sure if everybody sees every production that you do, but if we go back to Bitcoin against the tech market, which it's being compared to, a lot of people saying it's hive mind of bright young things, you know, we can divide it by gold or the NASDAQ. Either works. So we compare it, benchmark. This is what we do a lot of. What is the relative valuations of these things? I go to log scale and I take you to a lower time frame. That was your squeeze and that was your move. This was brilliant targeting. Is there anything that's given you a better target? Look at that. Get out there. Perfectly executed. And you'll have a pullback here. Ignore it. It's just going to feel painful for a while. Don't watch the screens. There you go. Who gives you interim targets and tell you not to watch the screens, but you're in the right place generally? And look at that move. You literally had 1 week that was a mildly bearish week in a non-stop bull run before you got your interim target pullback and then your full target. And then the rest of this is chopped. You don't need that mess. You don't need to be back in there. Now you're in a falling wedge and you popped out and you might get a return move first, but Bitcoin may start getting some of a bid again. But it will depend on how it's perceived as a currency replacement or a role in it in any demand destroying event. And if we get a demand destroying event, the liquidity goes first. It can still dip lower and go back higher later. If you're in leverage, you're wrecked. That's the game. That's what I protect people from. And that's a little bit on the crypto markets, Bitcoin divided by gold. And then you can also have Bitcoin divided by the NASDAQ. And you'll see the same footprint, similar chart, same kind of draw.
We're in the process of leaving an old system, right? All of the old systems. And it's going towards a new system. But in between the old system and the new system, there's a bridge, right? And there is you're kind of in limbo. But this is the biggest dislocation of wealth ever when you're on the bridge. So I think the message here for folks are that if you are looking to build wealth and even protect wealth, we have so many gaps. There's so many asymmetry, whether it's information, whether it's pricing of assets. I mean, no, it's a disaster, which is spectacular for business owners and investors. So a time not to hover and hide and crawl underneath your bed, but stand up, face what's happening and capitalize on all of these opportunities. So I want to thank you for pointing them out, Francis, and sharing, again, always your insights and your knowledge with my listeners and my audience. Where can folks follow you? Where can they stay in touch? And where can they learn more about the HVF method and the community that you have?
Yeah, great. We focused on building wealth during reset times. And we are not shy of every detail of reset. The only way you get to understand something is you have to feel the elephant, not just the trunk with your blindfold on. You have to go around the whole animal and absorb and accept it all. So we don't shirk from dark facts. And we recognize them, we take them on, we don't fall apart. We see that's the nature of the game. You've been chosen to be played in a big game. You should recognize that you have all the tools to cope with it as best as possible. And you don't get chosen for things that you can't compete in. You can underperform by not recognizing it and falling within yourself. Don't be within yourself. That's part of what we want. So it helps to build wealth. And we are focused on wealth building in reset times and how to position for that. It helps. HVF method is bespoke to us. It can't be learned anywhere else. It's very useful for investment positioning. It's very useful for trading with light conservative leverage with specific examples like the Euro NOK that we showed you, like the Steinhoff. I didn't trade it, but we saw it happen. Like the oil positioning pre the great collapse. We are continuing to do that to help our members build wealth security. We also have services that give you some protection of wealth, because it's not only what you make, it's what you can keep, and give you diversity. My concern for my beloved American friends who are watching and listening is that they're coming for you, and some of you don't realize it, and you think just a different place inside of America is going to be safe. You need options, and America is a big, beautiful country. You can live your life very happily within that, and the temptation means you're often a little bit international, untraveled, and unaware. There could be some dark things. Those Deagle stats on America point to a massive potential loss on citizen population. It might not all be the vac shot that you've avoided. It could be a military strike. It could be something else. You could be in the sites. Having other locales where you both have precious metals, bullions, structures that will transcend you, such as if you die, your corporation or your foundation will continue. All of these topics are handled by us, and where those countries should be. So we're looking at the great game of life in this reset world generally, broadly, from a point of view of quality of life, building wealth, protecting wealth, and having many options available to you, which is also, of course, passport citizenry, right to remain in various other places. You could start by meeting me. I will be in Panama soon. It's not a big flight for many people. If you're serious about these things, come and visit us. Have a coffee with us. Decide who you like. It's great to meet people offshore and in hand, face-to-face, eye-to-eye, rather than on internet. You can just follow the Market Sniper YouTube for now and see what we're all about, what I give free view. That comes sometime after our community has served. They've paid. They get respected first. And we don't share everything that we do there either. Certain things are sensitive. So just subscribe at the Market Sniper and also the Crypto Sniper YouTube. We do a reset where I delve into the darker readings that I've been doing around the whole nature of things. Call it misery porn if you like. I prefer to call it understanding. I don't wallow in it. I want to understand. And I often have maybe a little drone follow me, and I ride my mountain bike. That requires a small payment of LBC tokens, difficult for Americans maybe. Most of you can, but if you have a problem, email us on support, send a few hundred dollars. They'll send you a ton of tokens that'll have you watching for a year. So all these things can be done. Get wise. This is the challenge of the lifetime. Going about your everyday job, doing the everyday job mechanical things are actually, that's like kind of dusting under the couch. It's nice to do. It's not critical. These thoughts, taking time out on a weekend, thinking, where do I want to go? How do I want to be? Where do I want to be in a year's time? You, every single person watching this, could have property in three different, totally disparate locations where you have a lower cost of living, lower cost of medical than, say, the States. You have a less threatening populace. Less BLM potential threat, less Antifa potential threats, all the potential threats, less in the eyes of potentially the Russia threat. It wouldn't be Russians, but they might bring on war into America from some place. You might want to be in a different hemisphere. Southern hemisphere does better if you think there's going to be nuclear fallout. I don't think there'll be nuclear, but there could be other things. Anything could happen where you keep your precious metals. How you keep them, what format you keep them, different locales, different laws. There's cracks for you to crawl in. We are going to continue to exploit those. It's difficult for them at every level to have everything at globally, all exactly on the same point and the same dot. They are working towards that. There's universal tax where they want to have a minimum of 15% tax. I'm just interested in how much can we save you in unnecessary payments to the government? How much can we help you through partners? Because I don't deal with that specifically, building of wealth, protecting it, and giving you an amazing life with fallback options. That can mean close to airfields for private pilots, close to big airports for where there's still going to be commercial flights, different countries, different nations, boat plans, everything. You can discuss this all with a community of like-minded, and that is at themarketsniper.com. If you're ready, book a call. If you're not, watch some YouTube, decide if you like me or not. If not, whatever you do, I wish you well and safety. My great cause is, how many people can we save? This is a great war on us. There is a war going on, and it is going on you. The watchers of MC Loeb's Cashflow Ninja, which is an awesome channel, and I suggest take action. take action. It feels good. Even if it's all unnecessary, you'll have lots of very useful things you will have done. And that's my primary message. That's who we are. And we look forward to seeing if you can make the time to come over. Until next time, thank you for having me on.
Thank you so much, Francis. And thank you to you, the listeners and the viewers, for spending the most valuable resource, your time, once again with me on the Cashflow Ninja. Everything Cashflow Ninja is at cashflowninja.com. That's cashflowninja.com. And if you want to join our mastermind, my inner circle, Cashflow Nirvana, you could go to cashflowninja.com/Nirvana. That's cashflowninja.com/Nirvana. Until next time, live infinitely.
This presentation is for educational and informational purposes only. The information being presented and considered does not consider your particular financial objectives or situation, and it does not make personalized recommendations. This material is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified tax and legal advisor or other qualified professionals, and you should not use the information in place of a customized consultation with a licensed professional regarding your specific personal financial objectives, situation, and needs. We believe the information provided is reliable, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, timeliness, or completeness.